Before You Were Mine, GCSE Poetry Podcast. Hello and welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and we're diving deep into one of the most emotionally rich and technically rewarding poems in the anthology, Carol Ann Duffy's Before You Were Mine. Whether you're revising for AQA, EdExcel, or another board, this episode will take you through everything you need to know: the themes, the language, the structure, the context, and crucially, exactly how to write about it in the exam to pick up those top marks. So get comfortable, grab a pen, and let's get started. Let's begin with what the poem is actually about, because understanding the emotional heart of it is the foundation for everything else. Before You Were Mine is written from the perspective of a daughter, widely believed to be Duffy herself, addressing her mother directly. The poem imagines the mother's life before the speaker was born. A glamorous, carefree existence in the 1950s, dancing with friends, laughing in the street, full of vitality and freedom. The speaker looks at old photographs and constructs this vivid picture of who her mother was before. Motherhood changed everything. Now, here's the first thing examiners want you to grasp. The poem is not simply nostalgic, it's emotionally complex. The speaker feels a kind of possessive longing. She wishes she could have known this version of her mother, but she also implicitly acknowledges that her own existence ended that freedom. There's guilt woven into the love. There's loss woven into the celebration. That tension is what makes the poem so powerful. And candidates who recognize this complexity are the ones who reach the top levels. Let's look at the title first, because examiners always reward close attention to titles. Before You Were Mine, that possessive pronoun mine, is doing enormous work here. It's tender, yes, but it's also possessive, even slightly selfish. Duffy is claiming ownership of her mother, which is both a natural expression of love and, if you think about it, a little unsettling. The irony is that the mother was never really mine. She was her own person with her own identity before the speaker arrived and, in a sense, took that away. Candidates who explore this irony are awarded credit for perceptive reading. Now let's move through the poem's key imagery. The opening stanza places the mother in a 1950s Glasgow Street, laughing with her friend Maggie McGeaney. Duffy references Marilyn Monroe, the ultimate symbol of glamour, vitality, and tragically unfulfilled potential. By associating the mother with Marilyn, Duffy elevates her to an iconic status. She wasn't just a woman. She was luminous, electric, full of possibility. But Marilyn also died young, her potential cut short. This adds a layer of melancholy to the association. The mother's own vivid life was, in a sense, cut short by the arrival of the speaker. The second stanza moves to a specific memory. The mother standing at a corner, your polka dot dress blows round your legs. This is sensory and immediate. The present tense here is deliberate. Duffy uses the present tense to bring the past alive, to make it feel vivid and real, as though she can actually see it. This is one of the poem's most important structural techniques. The shifting between past and present tense creates a dreamlike, fluid sense of time. The past doesn't feel dead. It feels close, almost touchable. The third stanza introduces the speaker's childhood. I'm 10 years old, my hands in the pockets of the drunken night. Here the speaker places herself in the scene, imagining herself watching her mother from a distance. The phrase drunken night is wonderfully ambiguous. It could refer to the festive, intoxicating atmosphere of the 1950s social scene, but it also carries a hint of excess, of something slightly out of control. The speaker is an observer of a world she never inhabited. The final stanza is where the emotional weight lands. I remember my hands in those high-heeled red shoes, relics. And now your ghost clatters toward me over George Square. The word ghost is devastating. The mother's former self, that free, dancing, laughing woman, is now just a ghost. She exists only in memory, in photographs, in the speaker's imagination. And the word relics, applied to the mother's shoes, carries religious connotations as though the mother's past life is something sacred, something to be venerated. Candidates who pick up on this religious register are awarded marks for sophisticated analysis. Right, let's talk about how to write about this poem in the exam, because knowing the content is only half the battle. The most common mistake candidates make is misreading the speaker's possessiveness. Many students write that the speaker is being selfish or controlling, but that's too simplistic. The possessiveness is a complex emotional response. It's love, it's guilt, it's longing. It's the very human desire to know the people we love as they were before we knew them. Examiners want you to hold that complexity. Use phrases like, "Duffy presents the speaker's possessiveness as simultaneously tender and self-aware." That kind of nuanced reading is what separates level 4 from level 3. The second common mistake is ignoring the 1950s context. This setting is not decorative, it's thematic. In post-war Britain, women were expected to transition from the relative freedoms of wartime into domestic roles as wives and mothers. The 1950s represented both a cultural golden age of glamour and a period of significant constraint for women. Duffy's mother giving up her dancing, her freedom, her Marilyn-esque vitality to become a mother is deeply embedded in this historical context. Candidates who integrate this context, not as a separate paragraph but woven into their analysis, are awarded marks for AO3. Third mistake, ignoring the structural techniques. Examiners specifically reward candidates who discuss enjambment and caesura. The poem's conversational flow, its run-on lines, its occasional pauses, these create the sense of someone speaking directly, intimately, almost thinking aloud. When you write about structure, use the word enjambment and explain its effect. It mimics the natural rhythm of thought and speech, reinforcing the poem's intimate, direct address tone. One more tip. The command word explore, which often appears in poetry questions, means you need breadth and depth. Don't just analyze one technique. Move through language, structure, and form. Now let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then press play to hear the response. Question 1. What does the possessive pronoun mine in the title suggest about the speaker's attitude towards her mother? Pause now. Answer. It suggests a complex possessiveness. Love that is tender but also claims ownership. It implies the speaker sees her mother as belonging to her, which is both natural and slightly ironic, since the mother was her own person before the speaker's birth. Question 2. What is the significance of the Marilyn Monroe reference? Pause now. Answer. Marilyn Monroe represents glamour, vitality, and tragic unfulfilled potential. By associating the mother with Marilyn, Duffy elevates her to iconic status and implies that, like Marilyn, the mother's brilliant, free life was cut short, in this case, by motherhood. Question 3. How does Duffy use tense to create a sense of nostalgia? Pause now. Answer. Duffy shifts between past and present tense throughout the poem. The use of present tense when describing the mother's past life makes it feel vivid and immediate, creating a dreamlike blurring of past and present that reinforces the theme of nostalgia. Question 4. What does the word ghost suggest in the final stanza? Pause now. Answer. Ghost suggests that the mother's former self, the free, dancing, pre-motherhood woman, no longer exists. She's a haunting presence, visible only in memory and imagination. It also implies loss. Something vital has been lost, and the speaker mourns it. Let's bring it all together. Before You Are Mine is a poem about love, loss, and the passage of time. Duffy imagines her mother's vivid, glamorous life before motherhood and mourns the freedom that was given up. The poem's power lies in its emotional complexity. The speaker's love is possessive, her nostalgia is tinged with guilt, and her celebration of her mother's past is inseparable from an awareness that her own birth ended it. For the exam, remember these 5 key points. 1. The possessive pronoun mine signals complex, ironic ownership. 2. The Marilyn motif elevates the mother to iconic, tragic status. 3. Shifting tenses create a dreamlike, nostalgic atmosphere. 4. The 1950s context grounds the poem in a specific cultural moment of glamour and constraint. 5. The word ghost in the final stanza is the emotional climax. The mother's former self is lost, mourned, and venerated. When you write about this poem, always link your language analysis to theme. Don't just spot the technique, explain what it makes the reader feel and why Duffy chose it at that particular moment. That's what gets you into the top levels. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exams. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing, And remember, the more you engage with the poem's emotional complexity, the more marks you'll earn. See you next time.